is an offshoot from what my main intention is. My main intention, of course, is to each evening, one way or the other, do a theological takeoff of the theme, Jesus Christ. We talked about him this morning, making all men great again. That's the theme. And what I have been doing, I have been taking sections of that theme and trying my best to make it applicable to those of us who live today as believers and those who are not believers. I got off into, when I got to that third section, making, and then of course all men great again. I got to making, and then having gotten to that part of the theme, we went into this business of creation and how that word, the intent of that word, making, had a creative connotation, meaning that Jesus was the creator of the universe. And then I got off into juxtaposing the science of creation and special creation of Genesis chapter number one. And that's where we basically kind of wound up talking about the importance of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if there are those of you who are present with us this evening who do not have a relationship with Jesus, then I should hope that I would say something that might inspire you to want to have a relationship with Jesus. If you were here and you're already a child of God, you're already a believer in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you have an abiding faith in apostolic preaching, and you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and not only that the Bible is the Word of God, but it is inspired by God himself. Assuming that that is the case, I want, for the next few minutes, I want to take you to Philippians chapter number 2 and try to create a hunger. Try to create an emotional propensity on your part that might inspire you to want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we go to Philippians chapter number 2, and I shan't be long. And of course, you understand that that doesn't mean too much, but I do. Yeah, this is my third sermon, and it just looks like you know they come these speeches come with gunshot rapidity, but I'm going to take it as easy as I can, and hopefully that my voice will last to get out of this a message this evening and be ready in terms of my vocals on tomorrow night. But here is what I need you to remember. Now, of course, I hope what I said about the folk in the boxes did not I like sometimes I talk too much, but I was hoping that all right, okay, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Brother, I love you. I was talking about my technicians down in Florida. Now, and if you have Bibles, verse number 5 of the book of Philippians is most interesting. I don't have time to deal with the lead up in terms of contextuality. I don't have time to deal with that because Philippians chapter number 2 has to be connected with at least the first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians, because there is a theological and a hermeneutical connection. But I don't have time to deal with that. I'm hoping that you will assume that I know that, so we can just move methodically. Now, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, Paul begins an interesting dissertation. Understand now what the overall purpose is here and what it is that I'm trying to convey. I'm trying to get those of you who are believers and those of you who are non-believers to create a desire to want to have a relationship with Jesus. And why would one want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, that's the object. That is the intent. That, of course, is the force of this message. Creating a desire to have a relationship with Jesus. Now, I've explained to you in a very short way this morning what a relationship is. A relationship, of course, is being on a team. You have to understand the team concept to have a human relationship. And of course, what I want you to do that I don't have time to get into is I just want you, I'm giving you these broad concepts, hoping that you can extrapolate from them to see what I'm trying to tell you. And that is having a relationship with Jesus Christ and why it is important. Now, most of us in the house, we have relationships. We are in relationships. You're either in a marriage relationship, or for sure, you are in a family relationship. Now, it doesn't mean that you appreciate it, but you are in a family relationship. It may be that you don't go to reunions, but that doesn't matter. You still have what we call a family relationship. You are still in a family, and you are connected by blood. All right. That's a good place to go, but let me move quickly. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, having spent at least 3 chapters to this whole issue with regards to the mind. And he says in the 5th verse of Philippians chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to feel the power of this. I want you to feel the import of this. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. All right, let that soak in, let that marinate, because that's going to be important. Verse number 6, the Bible says, who being in the form of God thought it. Now watch what he is doing. And I just don't have time to do all of this. But watch what he's doing. He said, now let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now he begins to enunciate the mind of Christ. He starts by saying, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now that's going to be very, very important because he's talking about a relationship here. And sometimes we misunderstand Philippians 2 and verse number 5. But verse number 7, the Bible says, but made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. What he is describing, he is describing the attitude of the Messiah that we preached about this morning. He is describing the attitude of the anointed one that we talked about this morning. Paul is very particular here. And not only is he particular, but he is enunciating certain things about Jesus' attitude, Jesus' demeanor, and why we ought to desire a relationship with him. Now, to desire or to have a relationship with Jesus, you need to understand what Jesus went through and why he went through it. Understand his mindset, because he went through all of what he went through because of his mindset. And the awesomeness of his mindset is absolutely baffling. I'll get back there in just a minute. But made of himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then verse 8, quickly. Verse 8, the Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he. It's the only way a relationship is going to work. The only way it's going to work is somebody in that relationship is going to have to humble themselves. Now, watch what Paul is saying. See, well, what Paul is doing here, Paul is going to tell us what was on his mind, in his mind, which answers the question, why did he come in the first place? Watch what he's doing. Watch what he's doing. He says now, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I think I want to stop there and make sure you are with me with this thing. Paul, one of the greatest minds in Christian history, Paul. Without Paul, we would be struggling as to our Christian behavior, our Christian worship without Paul. We appreciate what Peter did on Pentecost. And he was one of our great disciples of Christ. But if we wanted to know what our behavior should be as children of God, you're going to have to check with Paul. Now, we understand that Jesus informed his disciples to take the Lord's Supper. But if you wanted to know the attitude that you should be in when you take the Lord's Supper, you're going to have to check with Paul. Now, we understand that God made marriage, put man and woman together, even in the beginning, but our state of marriage, our relationship in marriage, we must of necessity check with Paul. And so here's what Paul does. When you read Philippians chapter number 2, it looks like Paul had an occasion to take a look and eavesdrop on the inner sanctums of the counsel of God. Paul is describing to us what it is that Jesus did but didn't have to do. Watch this now. Watch this. Paul, it seems, when you read the chapter, is looking and listening to God's divine strategy. Paul is creating in the mind of a child of God a wonderment of why would Jesus do what he did? Why would Jesus, who were accustomed to the praises of angels and give it up and come down to a low land of sorrow? Paul is saying, and he's trying to get us to see, why would one who had by right a home in glory, why would he give it up and come down to this low land of sorrow where his condition was not even comparable to birds and foxes? Why would one by right who were enjoying the praises of heaven and all that heaven had to offer, why would he give up that honor and come down to a low land of sorrow where he was ridiculed, ostracized, talked about, and became a subject to death, while in his original home there was no death? Why would he? See, we're talking about the mind of Christ. I mean, why would he give up a land where there was no death, no sorrow, no pain, and come to a land where he is death trapped, death restricted? Why would he give up the praises of heaven to come down here and put up with the ridicule of men and women? We're talking about the mind. So when you read this, don't miss this. When Paul says, let this mind be in you, understand what mind he's talking about. Understand why he gave up the grandeur of heaven and come down to a place filled with the cesspools of immorality. Why would he do that? Why would he give up a land where there is no tears, there is no death, there is no sorrow? Why would he give it up? I'm trying to get that mindset. Why would he give all of that up? Leave a land of sorrow and go out to the hill of Gokhara, and there let them hang him on that old rugged cross. And you see, I believe that every person who dies is owed, Christian or not, a certain amount of dignity. I said it doesn't matter. When a person dies, he is by right owed a certain amount of dignity. Why then would Christ let them hang him on a tree in ridicule and shame? And I know when you see pictures of it, he's got this little thing on. But when they crucified a man, they didn't have that thing on. We're talking about indignity. Why would he devalue himself to the point that he would allow men and women to kill, to crucify him and stretch him wide, hang him high in indignity? Why would he do it? We're trying to find the mind of Christ. You see, and if any man will do that for you, how could you not want to have a relationship with him? He is not doing it for himself. Well, why? How could he do it? How could he do it? The scripture says he humbled himself. In order to maintain a relationship with Christ, you're going to have to humble yourself. One who did not have anything to humble himself about, humble himself. And those of us who have everything to be humble about, it's hard to get us to be humble. Talking about that mind. And so, on that distant day, just outside of the gates of Jerusalem, they hung him high and they stretched him wide. And there he died on the old rugged cross. I said he died. Amen. He died. I know he died. Yes, sir. Because I heard the centurion say, truly, this was the Son of God. I know he died. I know he died because the earth got dark twice in the same day. So I know he died. I know he died because the sun became black as cyclones of hell. I know he died. I know he died. I know he died because I heard him say, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. I know he died. I know he died because I heard him say through scripture, Father, into the hands I commend my spirit. Why would he give up all of that to come down to a land filled with cesspools of immorality and people who ridiculed him, lied on him, and killed him? I'll tell you how he did it. He humbled himself. And if you are going to stay or be a part of a relationship with Jesus, you're going to have to humble yourself. I answered the question. Let me remind you where I answered it. Why would you want a relationship with Jesus? For all of the reasons that I have enumerated. He did what he didn't have to do, that you might be what you are not. And he did it not for himself, but he did it for us. So when you are asked, as you are about to be asked now, so when you are asked to have a relationship with Jesus, I want you to remember what he gave up for you, that you might have a relationship with him. Now here is the methodology behind accepting Jesus and his relationship. Now I don't have time to deal with the epistles of Peter, because in the epistles of Peter, we get a clear understanding of how we get into a relationship with Jesus and how to maintain that relationship with Jesus. Now, if you will remember, in 2 Peter chapter 1, you will remember how Peter says you need to add some things. Amen. I'm doing a series now, a six-week series on what's in your bag. Down home, I'm doing that. Because there are certain things you need in your bag. One is virtue. The other is knowledge. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Knowledge. Now, if you, in your leisure, if you read chapter number one, you will see all of the things that those people that Peter calls strangers had knowledge of. But then when you read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, beside all of this. Now, they had knowledge of the truth. They had knowledge of their conversion. They had all of that. But then Peter says, beside this, add to your faith virtue. In other words, knowledge in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, knowledge of your conversion, knowledge of your becoming a child of God is one thing. But the knowledge that Peter says, I need you to add, that's another thing. It's the difference between gnosis, N-O-S-I-S, and epignosis, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. Knowledge here in 1 Peter 1 is head knowledge. Head knowledge. Over here, when Peter said, beside that gnosis, you need to add some epignosis, heart knowledge. And there is a difference between gnosis and epignosis, because gnosis is head knowledge. Epignosis is relationship. That's where I was trying to go. You say, you need to add this. You need to add. Really, say, when Peter said, add to your faith virtue unto virtue knowledge, he's not talking about head knowledge. Now, in chapter 1, he's talking about head knowledge. But over here, he's talking about relationship. Wanting to be in a relationship with God. And why would you want to be in a relationship with Jesus? Because he did everything for you. He left heaven, came down to this earth, died the most ignominious death that a man could die, that you might have a relationship with him. Now, this relationship began at the front door of creation. The devil came in and destroyed it. But God didn't give up. God didn't give up. And it took him 6,000 years from the garden to the cross. What for? That you might have a relationship with him. In the Garden of Eden, the relationship was broken. And it took him 6,000 years to bring us back to that original relationship that we can have with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jesus says, if a man would love me and keep my word, my Father will love him. And we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. That's a relationship. And that's why a relationship with Jesus is so important, because he can make our relationship with God new again. And if perchance you're in the house and you say, well, Doc, I haven't really thought about that. Well, you need to think about what was in the mind of Christ. And when you think about it, it's all I ask you to do. I'm finished. All I ask you to do, just think about it. Why would someone who is living in a land where there is no death, there is no sorrow,
yes,
there is no pain,
brave,
there is no ridicule, he has been serenaded by the heavenly host, why would he give up all of that? Because he wanted to make it possible that we could have that original relationship with God. And that's what this theme means when it said, making all men great again. That's what it means. It means that Jesus can take us back to that original relationship. Where men, where Adam walked with God.
Yes, sir.
There was not a jar in his personality.
That's right.
Jesus can take us and make us so we can have that relationship again with God. When I fall, all I have to do is talk to the master.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm quitting, but I need to say this right long in here.
Yes, sir.
On that old rugged cross,
come on,
if you understand the mind of God.
Yes, sir.
And if you understand what he's doing, what is he doing? He didn't have to do it.
I know that's right.
Why is he doing it?
Yeah.
Because he wanted to take away all of our Adamic sin.
Yes.
Amen.
Because he wanted to take away and make provision for our present sin.
Yes, sir.
He wanted to do one better.
Yes.
He wanted to fix it so.
Yes, sir.
That we could get forgiveness for future sin.
Yes, sir.
Now, you didn't hear what I just said.
Yes,
what I said was that when Jesus died,
yes, sir,
on that old rugged cross,
yes, sir,
in his mind, he was creating a way,
yes, sir,
by which the Adamic sin,
yes,
could be forgiven.
Huh.
But he didn't stop there. His blood made a way that if we sin now, that Adamic sin that was done by our father Adam that brought death in the world, his dying on the cross fixed that. But he didn't stop there. Now, in a relationship with me, you still sin. Even though you were a child of God, you still sin. So he's got to fix that. He's got to fix the past sin. He's got to fix the present sin. And there are some sins that you haven't done yet that you might do tomorrow. So I got to, y'all ain't getting this. So I got to fix that. I'm talking about the mind of Christ. This is not some simplicity or some simple Simon statement. When you talk about the mind of Christ, he's fixing stuff. He's fixing stuff. And I got, and he had to fix it so there's nothing you can do to make God hate you. He fixed it that way. There's nothing you can do to make God hate you.
Lord have mercy.
So you stop hating yourself.
Preach.
You go on home.
Preach.
You go to bed.
Preach.
Because the blood
is
cleansing you.
Yes, sir.
And the reason you can't do anything to make God hate you is because of the isness. God is
all right.
Love.
Yes, sir.
His isness does not allow him.
Isness.
Now, I may not like you. I may say, no. But not God. But not God.
It's all right.
The mind of Christ. That's not some simple Simon statement.
Amen.
Right.
That statement is filled. It's filled with good knowledge. And because he made a way to forgive me of my past sins, because he made a way to forgive me of my present sins. Now, I know some of you think you don't sin, but there are few of us in here that have sinned. Amen. Including the preacher. Yeah, they get no amens on that. But I'm telling you, the preacher sins. I'm not perfect. And if you think I am perfect, you may be sinning against me. But Jesus fixed it so that I will be forgiven of my past Adamic sin, my present sin. And then he told the Holy Spirit, have John write to the church. And tell John to tell the church, little children, I write to you that you sin not.
Come on now.
But just in case.
Come on now.
Yes, sir. Come on now. Hallelujah.
Just in case.
Hallelujah.
I mean, how many folk in here have had?
Just in case.
No, I'm going to take that back. But listen, you can have a just in case.
Yes, sir.
You can have a just in case. I was in the store the other day, and I walked in there, and I was in the line, and I'm tired. I need to get back to my office. And I'm getting my passport, and I'm getting information from my passport. My passport was expiring. So I'm standing in line, and I don't like lines. I don't like lines. I do not like, when I go to the post office, I don't stand in line. I had a couple of members working at the post office. I said, get me something. Get me a pass. And so I have a pass. I don't stand in the line. I just walk up there and praise the name. And so, but in the passport office, I didn't have no pass. So this fella, who was not of my ethnicity, just walked in there and got in front of me. And see, what I needed right then was some heavenly help. Some heavenly help. And if your mind is not stayed on Jesus, and if you don't have the mind of Christ, you will tell that fella, praise the name of Jesus. The mind of Christ. What I was trying to show you was, because he did so much for me, I want to be in relationship with him. Think about how he fixed this thing. Your past is taken care of. Your present is prepared for. And not only that, but if in case you happen to get weak tomorrow, he's got that taken care of too. Now, why wouldn't you want to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ? He will not only fix your past, your present, and your future, but he will make you great again. If you're here today and you want to say yes to the Lord, why not do it right now? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I hope I have made it plain enough. And I hope that I have been serious enough. I hope I have been plain, powerful, and persuasive enough to get you to want to desire to be in a relationship with Jesus. Because if you are in a relationship in Jesus, the world can do you. Because greater is he that's in me than he in the world. My past been paid. My present is being provided. And my future is going to be taken care of. So when I get up in the morning, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're inspired to want. And all of those of you who are members of the Church of Christ, listen, you may not be in a real relationship with Jesus. Now you may, you say, well, I'm in a relationship. No, I'm talking about with Christ. Are you in a relationship with God? You may be in a relationship, and you probably are in a relationship, but rather than explain what I'm talking about, I want to say to you, in spite of those relationships that you are in, get in a relationship with Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now, I want everybody to please stand. If you walked in the building, please stand up. And if there are those of you in this house who do not have a relationship with Jesus, You do not have a relationship with the Master, then now that I've explained to you the mind of Christ and what motivated him to come all the way from glory to this sin-cursed earth to fix your life, to fix your life. What was in his mind? How am I going to fix your life? He came to fix your life. He came to fix your life. He came to fix my life. And he fixed it. He fixed it. Because I'm taken care of. I'm good. I'm good. And it's not because I'm old. I'm still good. I'm good. I'm good to go. I'm good to go because my past is taken care of. And my present is provided for. And I don't worry about the future because he's going to be in there. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. If you didn't get anything this evening, get this. I need to be in a relationship with Jesus because of all that he did for me. And I saw what kind of mind he had. And the only way he could fix my situation, he had to humble himself. Because he had everything. But because he loved you, and because he loved me, he had to have the mind of a servant. And for him to come down from glory, he had to humble himself. Now, how does that make you feel? How does that make you feel that this Jesus Christ, making all men great again, held you in such high esteem that he humbled himself and came down from glory so you could have a relationship with his Father? Now, what I want you to do is in some way say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus." You don't have to say it now orally, but this is what I want you to leave here with. Thank you, Jesus. I know you all dressed up, you got that red tie on, and you got that hat on, and I know you got that edumacation, you got all that good stuff. But at some point, I want you to stop and think about how fortunate we are that Jesus loved us enough to leave the richest coats in glory and come down and fix our situation. Now, we're going to sing "Past Sprint Auto, Gentle Savior" while we're singing it. If there are those of you in the house who want to say yes to the Lord, and if there are those of you in the house who are not a Christian, you're not a child of God, you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you will believe that he is who he said he was, and you are willing to repent of all of your past sins, you're willing to confess that he is Lord, he is the Son of God, and willing to submit, into baptism for remission of your sins, God will add you to the church, and the angels will write your name in the Lamb Book of Life. Are you here? Let's just see, because Jesus is about to pass by. Let us sing.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior, Lord, hear my humble cry, and oh, and while on others now art calling, please, sir, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Lord, you hear my humble cry. Yeah, and while on others now art calling, please, sir, do not pass me by, and me at thy throne of mercy, Lord, find a sweet relief. Said I'm kneeling there in deep constriction. Lord, help my unbelief. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh, Savior. Lord, you hear my humble cry, and while on others now art calling, please, Lord, do not pass me by, and I'm calling you, Savior, oh, my Savior, Lord, you hear my humble cry, and where while on others now art calling, please, Lord, do